Yeah, so thank you for joining us for the GDB Alumni Speakers Series. We've got a great guest speaker today. We're going to be talking a little bit about grief, both in terms of when we have to retire a dog and also when a dog passes away. And I just want to let everyone know that hopefully soon, later in this spring, the Alumni Board is going to be putting together a support group dealing for folks who are dealing with those issues. It'll be at a regular time once a month so that folks can call in and either help support their fellow alumni who are having going through these tough times, or if they themselves are having issues, if you yourselves are having issues, you can call in. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so that should be cool. So I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to Miley George, who is our chapter coordinator on the Alumni Board, as well as our Outreach Committee Chair, and she is going to introduce Kim to us.
Thanks so much, Teresa. I would like to just welcome this to this very special speaker series call today. We're going to learn about some of the toughest aspects of the guide dog lifestyle, and those are the goodbyes. For the past 20 years, our guest speaker...
I'm going to go lay upstairs on the bed.
For the last 20 years, our guest speaker has been a guide dog handler herself, and for the past 15, she's been the counseling specialist at GDB. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to welcome Kim Samko.
Wow. I can't believe how important I sound. And you know what? This has been my fantasy to be able to mute everyone, so that's exactly what I'm going to do, right? A little phone just told me you've all been muted. This is kind of weird, though, because now I feel like I'm only talking to myself. So I have a kind of a loose list of things here that I'm going to talk about. So, you know what? I'm going to unmute you guys. I don't like this. Okay. Are you guys back?
We're here. Can you hear us?
Hello?
Can you hear us? Hello?
Who's there?
Can you hear me now? Hello?
Are you guys there?
We're here.
Somebody say something. Oh. Hear me now?
We're here now. Yeah, we're here now.
Okay.
We're with you.
We're all here. Like Twilight Zone. And the voices in your head only talk to you.
All right, you guys. So I'm the picture of mental health. What can I tell you?
You don't have to be crazy to work here, but it helps.
Hi, Heather here in Canada just arrived.
Oh, Heather. Hiya.
And Bruce Gilmore in Canada. Bruce Columbia just arrived.
Hi, Bruce.
Jim Edwards in Las Vegas.
Oh. How many strong are we now?
I don't know, but can I ask all of you guys?
There are three, four participants currently in the meeting.
I have to tell you, I did not in that little vacuum all by myself. All right. We're going to get going. Samko, as Miley told you, and I'm working my third guide dog, Wyla. She's nine. And I trained with my first one in 95. Had some really wonderful dogs. So we're going to talk about when that wonderful relationship coming to an end. And as Miley said, it's probably the most difficult part of the relationship. And I don't know about you guys, but I had no idea what an amazing relationship I would have with my first dog. I
Can somebody, is not muted, can they please everybody mute star six?
Star six. Star six.
Okay. So, the relationship that we have with our guide dogs, I think, is pretty darn magical. And it's just amazing. So that means proportionately, that's how bad it hurts when it ends. So I'm going to normalize some of the feelings that we go through with this process, because many of us feel like we're losing our minds because our feelings and thoughts are just all over the place. And we're fine one minute, and then, you know, we're in tears the next minute, or we can't concentrate on what we were doing, or any of that. And all of that is normal when you've had a significant loss. So, I call it normal crazy. when we're approaching the loss, during the loss, following the loss, and we do feel like crazy person. We're just all over the map. Sorry, I keep going. Okay, and the feelings we have, the depression, the anger, guilt, all of that is very normal. Okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm sorry, guys. I am going to throw away my notes so I can just catch my stride here. So, it's also normal to feel disloyal to your retired or retiring guide. And that's kind of hard to deal with, because our history and our loyalties and feelings are all with a retired guide. You know, but we have to make the new guide our priority, or it's just not going to work. So somebody wrote in and wanted to know if I had ever kept any of my previous guides while I had my new guide, and the answer is yes, I have. But it is a juggling act, because both the new dog and the retired guide, want my attention. And there are specific things you can do with that, which we're not going to talk about today. But as always, any of you guys can call me and get tips and thoughts and observations on whatever is going on with you guys. So when you're going through these losses and these crazy feelings, think about what helped you when you've had other losses. And chances are that will at least help some on the loss of your guide dog, whether it's through retirement or through death. So also, any of you who know me know that I
Wait, I think we're unmuting.
Yeah, okay. We're just unmuted again.
Sorry. I am just really struggling here, because I feel like I'm in a vacuum, and what I do is to relate to people. And I just feel like, who am I relating to? Bear with me.
Kim, just pretend you're on the phone to one of us. And just talk to that one person rather than trying to think of all of us.
Oh, Christ.
Okay.
So, got the crazies and you're feeling just devastated by the loss. Probably the most important skill or tool you can use use the positive and those of you who have been in cognitive therapy or possibly dialectic behavior therapy. So I'm not asking you to lie to yourselves because it just plain old sucks. Mm-hmm. Some positive statements might be, this hurts really bad, but I'm okay. This will be okay. I'm a strong person. I don't like this. I really would like to avoid this, but I can't. So, you know, statements like that go a long way. Also, many people are just, their hurt is increased because their family and friends may not understand what they're going through, or they're public, and they say things that are pretty insensitive, like, you know, oh, sure, you're just going to get rid of that dog now? Or how go get another dog when that one has, you know, yada, yada, yada. I know what you're going through because I lost my dog. All of those things. And any of us who have gone through the ending of the relationship know it's much more than that. It's much, our guide dogs are more than family members. They're kind of like body parts. So people don't understand. They haven't lopped off their left arm when they come to end that relationship with a guide dog. So I would encourage people to at least not have their feelings hurt. People are coming from the right place, but they say a lot of things without thinking, and they don't mean to hurt us. You have every right to say, this is not helpful, I don't want to talk about it, whatever. This is your deal, and you get to do it the way you want to do it. Be kind to yourself. This is hard enough without beating yourself up because you think you may or may not have done something to cause the ending of the relationship prematurely. You can really make yourself crazy, you know, with that. So if you can be kind to yourself in the same way, you be kind to your friend who is going through this. I would like to think, and I think I know way more than half of you on this call, and I know that you wouldn't say to your friend, you know, oh, just suck it up, it's just a dog, or, you know, any of that stuff. So treat yourself with at least as much compassion as you would treat your friend or fellow guide dog user, which comes me to the point that nobody understands like other guide dog users, which is why the Alumni Association wants to start this ongoing support group, because nobody does understand, and there's just something very therapeutic about hearing somebody say, you feel that too? I thought I was just losing my mind. Or I didn't feel this bad when my father died, when my wife died. I hear that a lot, and people really think that there's something wrong with them. They feel worse of their guide dog than they do at the loss of a spouse or a parent or something like that. And that's all normal as well. But I can assure you, family members would not understand that. They would think, you know, oh boy. So, normal feelings are a problem. And my motto is, if it ain't a problem, it ain't a problem. So if you're going along and you're still doing your daily do and, you know, life is still going on, then it's not a problem. The problem is when you haven't been functioning for a while. And what I mean by functioning is maybe not getting up, not going to work, not being able to concentrate, all of those sorts of things mean that your normal functioning is impaired. It's not unusual for that to be the case when for a period of time afterwards. And I know that that's vague, but it does vary. I think a week or two is not unusual. And I would like to think that after a week, you know, you'd be starting to climb out of the hole and re-enter life. On that subject, it's very helpful to re-engage in your life and do what you need to do so that you know that the world is still spinning, life is still going on, people are still doing whatever it is they do. And it's just important to keep this loss in perspective that, you know, it's devastating, it's heartbreaking, it hurts crazy, but life is still going on. Certainly, if you feel like you don't want life to go on, and you're serious about that, then that's a problem, and you should definitely get it. You all know, once again, you can call me. If you're wondering if your grief is normal or if you've gone off the deep end, you know, please give me a call. And
earthquake. Also, there's not a time limit on it. That's what we've got to remember, too.
On your grief?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, as you said, you may be doing perfectly just fine, and then you go to one place. I know it for me, at church. You know, there's people at church. I know when Tyra retires, I joke with a friend of mine, I was like, you're going to end up in therapy when my daughter retires. Because she loves her that much, you know.
Yeah, well, the grief process is such you can't deal with it until you deal with it.
Right.
And so you're going down the road of life, and everything is, and you can't deal with that until you get there. So it might be an anniversary, it might be a smell, it might be church, like Holly said, something that triggers it, and you think, oh, wow, I thought I was done grieving. You know, and you just never know. One example I use, it was probably a couple of years after I lost my father, and I was out picking daffodils, and all of a sudden I was so overwhelmed with sadness, and I thought, who knew the daffodils, you know, were so important regarding relationships bad. So the sneakers, they kind of sneak up on you. And that's normal, too. And then, you know, a lot of people, if you don't know it's normal, you might be thinking, there's something wrong with me. You know, I thought I was over this, and here it is again. But the whole healing process is such that episodes get farther apart and less intense and shorter in duration. And if that's happening over time, then that's all normal. It's when you're really stuck in the quagmire of grief that it's probably a good idea to talk to somebody and get what I call fresh air blowing through so you can get perspective.
Kim, there's a lot of static on the line, and it sounds like someone moving papers and talking programs. Maybe people should be reminded what to do on their phone.
You know what? I'm going to try muting you guys again and see if I feel any better about that now. Okay. In our culture, we don't have a lot of rituals. You know, so many cultures have rituals that mark significant points in our lives, and our Western cultures don't have that so much as a general rule. So you might want to think about some sort of a ritual. When your dog retires, it could be a party, it could be having somebody interview you about your time with your dog. Becky Andrews did a wonderful interview on a video tape that I know she said helped her immensely just to kind of honor the relationship that she had with her dog, with Cricket. Writing is great. It engages a different part of your brain than talking does or just thinking. So whenever we can get more brain cells working on a problem or a process, that's a good thing. You can, those of you who are artsy-fartsy, you can create something and just kind of be there with your guide's memories while you're doing it. And that's also a way of processing. So, you know, whether you're knitting, sculpting, drawing, you know, whatever your thing is, and that's kind of what prayer shawls are about. You know, people, when they do a prayer shawl for a friend or a society like, you know, Cancer Society or something like that, you know, they just really kind of pour their love and good wishes into that prayer shawl. And it's just a very sweet way to honor what's going on and get some healing. Okay, so that mostly is on retirement. I'm going to open it up for questions, and then I've got some things to say about death. And then I have some things to say about the nuts and bolts. Somebody asked me about paperwork and equipment and status and things like that. So we'll get to that. But right now, open it up for questions regarding retirement.
Can you hear me? I'm not sure if I'm unmuted or not. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, cool. What I think is real important, I kept Polly Ann, which was my third guide, and Myra now. And what I think is really important to do is be sure to spend time with your retired guide, and especially when you're going through the process, I'm going to say this hopefully not just become a mess, when you realize that it's time, you know, or you start to realize that it's time, and you're just like, okay, am I really thinking this? I know, like for me with Polly Ann, she had slowed down, she was all kinds of stuff, and then I was in the mall with some friends, including another guide dog handler, and all of a sudden, bam, I no longer had any harness pressure whatsoever. And I looked at a friend of mine who is sighted, and I said, did she just do what I think she just did? And he's like, yeah, she did. And in a way, that was good because she told me in no uncertain terms, I'm done, which can be really helpful.
Yeah, that's something, you know, if I can get comfortable with this whole forum that we're doing, that's a whole nother topic. And for several years, I have had several false starts on writing an article about retirement. And this is such a unique and complicated and intricate process. You know, how to decide, like you just said, Holly, I mean, did I really see that? Is this really happening? You know, how to make sense of that, since there'll be good days and bad days and all of that. You know, and then that's just one nuance of the whole process. It's huge. So I think there's probably a book in my future because it's all really hard for me to cut it off. You know, for me, and that's part of what I was struggling with earlier when we were trying to get going here is I get so much in my head because these issues are so complex and there aren't always clear-cut answers. It's very individual, and you share things with other people. You have things in common, but it's still your process, and it's still unique and very sacred.
And any feelings that you have are okay. I mean, being my fourth dog, I've had dogs since, you know, longer than you have, Kim, since 93. And, you know, it doesn't get any easier. It's different.
Kim, this is Randy. I have a question.
Go ahead.
Here's my question. you know, Clark was retired after our accident in 2012. 2.5 years later, and the grief was intense then. I had to deal with the grief while I was still in the hospital bed. But then less than a year later, Valerie passed away. Here's what I'm finding now is, this is, I just came to my mind, or to my realization the other day, I've almost forgotten Clark. Is this normal? I don't think I'm compartmentalizing, but I guess I'm kind of going, why am I doing that? Because Clark was like my soulmate.
Yes.
And while Webster's a great dog, and he loves his kibble.
Dog.
He's not Clark. We're together 2 years as of March 20th. So I guess I'm just kind of curious about that process, or what I'm dealing with in that respect. Because I've lost everything from Clark because my computer died and I never had all the stories I wrote backed up.
Oh, no. Does that mean that I never have to hear about the hat?
I miss hat stories, man.
I have a new hat.
So, you're normal or we're both messed up.
Okay.
I have been thinking about that recently. Kanya, my second dog, was my heart and soul. And
right.
It's getting harder for me to... I don't really feel that way about Rainy, so I don't know what's up with that, but I wouldn't lose a lot of sleep. I think, you know, it's a way... You've got a lot going on in your life right now. You know.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't worry about it. Kind of back.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, Kiara. It's okay.
Kim?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? This is Pam Berman. I appreciate this session today because I have not gone through the retirement process yet. I did start, you know, the paperwork, and then I started bawling during my interview. So I know, you know, retirement is important to me. I want that for my guide. But, I mean, I get teary-eyed and emotional just thinking about it. I have a pet dog. And the way it is now is both dogs sleep in my bedroom. And my guide, though he's aging and gracefully, his guide work is still phenomenal. And when we're going out, he still goes to the door, gets up on the steps, you know, assuming the position for me to, you know, harness him up, put his leash on. It just breaks my heart at the thought of that happening with another dog and me leaving him.
Well, a couple of things. And go through the application process. That's kind of, you know, I was saying earlier, we can't deal with things until we get there. And
right. So
as much as you try to think things through and how you want it to be, you know, once you start that application process, it's very hard. It's a dose of reality. That's on one hand. On the other hand, or the flip side of the coin, same coin, it's also a way to heal.
Huge.
Going through that. So it doesn't feel good, but, you know, a lot of things that heal don't feel good, you know, initially, you know, hydrogen peroxide on.
Yeah, you're sore and it's an ugly bruise.
Heather here, Tom in D.C., are you ready, Kim, for another question?
Actually, I just muted you guys again. So, you know, that thing, it derails me every time. About your dog, being upset that Cabrillo will be upset when you leave with a new dog.
You know, I've kept my dogs, and I've talked to a lot of people who have kept their dogs, and Teresa is one of those. And my dogs have been pretty much done. Mm-hmm. So this current dog may be different because she's the first one I've had that just is thrilled to pieces to work. So, in a way to make it okay for the retired guide, you know, you can make it a party when you're leaving with your new guide. You can put the retired guide in another room. What I did with Rainey is I would go out. My husband would stay behind and give her ear rubs and pit scratches and treats and things like that. So it didn't take very long before she was like, "See ya, don't you have someplace to go with that dog?" You know, and my dogs have also been like, "Good, I'm done. You know, you can take responsibility for this woman now." So I don't think, in your case, Pam, and this would apply to not everyone, I don't think it's going to be a huge issue. It'll probably be harder for you than it will be for Brio. So I'm going to move on to death, and then I'm going to, or loss through death, I should say, and then I'm going to open it up again. So one question was, what do you do when your dog dies suddenly and unexpectedly? And you might be home, you might be out on the street, and for those who haven't experienced that, you know, it sounds pretty horrifying. And it doesn't happen often, but it does happen some. And it's something to think about. My first thought is, you know, if you're sure that your dog has passed, you know, call a friend so you can get some support. You know, if it's in the middle of the night, call an emergency vet and ask what to do. You know, because none of us know what to do when, you know, a life leaves us and you're left there with a vessel. So call, if it's in the middle of the night, call the emergency clinic and get some advice about what to do. In the morning, when the dust settles, call guide dogs, and, you know, we will give you support and kind of help you through that. It's probably a good idea for any of us to have the information on hand, you know, the number for the emergency clinic. You can ask your vet, you know, what do I do if, you know, are there some services that will come, you know, pick up the dog while you're waiting. For things to happen, you know, do whatever makes you feel better. So if that means moving the body out of the house, then do that. If it means leaving the body in the house, do that. Covering the body, anything, whatever is going to make you feel better. There are no rights or wrongs. You know, you get to do it your way. Let's see, get your vet involved. So your next vet appointment, you just want to ask, so what happens if my dog just keels over? Probably a good thing to know, and information is power. So, you know, if you have information on what to do, it'll be a lot less scary than you might think it is otherwise. You know, and as far as your feelings, call me, you know, or talk to somebody that you trust, because, you know, I would imagine anybody is going to be pretty freaked out about that. And those that I've talked to that have gone through it, you know, it's been pretty upsetting. The story about what happened, you know, people are going to be asking. And this goes for retirement as well as loss through death. You get to tell the story the way you want. And if you don't want to talk about it, you don't need to talk about it. And there are a lot of grads that get really tired of people asking, you know, where's your dog? What happened? Blah, blah. You know, and so one thing you could do is just come up with a short story. that will give them some information, and you don't have to say anything more than that. You can also think about some pat phrases that that'll just roll off your tongue, you know. Oh, you know, I thank you for noticing. I'm not comfortable talking about it just yet. Or, you know, it's kind of personal, and I think I'd rather not talk about it. And if people think that you're being stingy with information, you're not willing to satisfy their curiosity, that's too bad. You know, this is your life. It's your heart that's been broken.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if talking about it helps you, you know, then tell the story. Tell people what happened. So I guess, you know, what I want you all to hear from me is you have permission to do it any way you want. As long as no one gets hurt, you know, then, you know, it's not all right to hurt people or to hurt yourself. But otherwise, you know, it's okay. You get to do it the way you want. So we talked about rituals for honoring retirement, and they can't be the same for honoring your dog's life and passing. So you can write a letter and burn it, and the smoke, you know, will carry the message to wherever your dog's spirit is. Plant a special plant or a tree if you've got some property. Making an altar, which I don't mean, I could mean if this is your philosophical belief, but an altar does not have to be a religious thing where blood sacrifices occur. That's not the altar I'm talking about. I'm talking about a place to put important things, mementos, that honor your dog and give you a place to sit and focus on, you know, on that memory. And when it's time to take it down, you'll know when it's time to take it down. We don't need that anymore. I know some people have put it, you know, on their dining room table, bookshelf, mantle, end table, all sorts of things. And they might put the dog's Kong and a picture and the collar, you know, anything else, a dog biscuit, you know, whatever they think will represent, you know, who their dog was. Lighting a candle, that's kind of a lovely and traditional way to honor, you know, life's passing, is to light a candle. You can do a party, a wake. You can do a service, you know, if your pastor, minister, whoever is, or you could just get people together and do your own service to honor their life and help them cross over to wherever they're going in their next journey. Okay, I'm on to nuts and bolts now, so we're almost done, and then I'm going to turn it over to you guys. So nuts and bolts, once your dog is retired, it no longer has the status of being a service dog, so it doesn't have the rights that our dogs have. They would no longer be entitled to going into public areas, you know, riding on planes, buses. So essentially, when they're retired, they become a pet, and they've got all the rights that a pet would have. We ask that you return the harness, and that's something that is kind of symbolic of the ending of the relationship and is hard for a lot of people. Somebody asked, what about toys and equipment? Do you get all new toys and equipment for the new dog? That's up to you. It's funny, when I retired Rainy, I didn't want her leash used for anything else. And now, I don't know whose leash is whose anymore. So it was important for me at the time, and then as time went on, it was no longer important. Mm-hmm. Adoption papers. This particular person, her mother is adopting the dog, so yes, we will send adoption papers for your mom to complete. Help helping retired guide transition. We talked about that a little bit. You know, just giving them support and some time, you know, where they have you all to themselves is good. But my dogs really have not had a hard time sharing with a new dog and sharing me. Call GDB for support, and if you have any questions, and I'm back to making your dog the priority. You know, that's what makes the whole relationship work, is making the investment in your new dog. You are all unmuted. I could go back and look at my list, and I hit all the high spots, I think. So, what was left undiscussed that you guys still want to know about?
How much time does it take between retiring your dog and getting a new dog?
Totally personal choice.
Well, it's not entirely personal choice. I mean, because I remind people that there are logistics on the GDB end. Right, and right now we are scheduled out. So I ask people to think ahead. You know, if they're thinking that once they decide they want a dog, that they're going to get in a month, that's not going to happen. So I suggest that people go ahead and apply.
That's and what I mean. Go ahead and start the process.
When they get the call, if they're not ready, then... I thought I'd be ready, but I'm not. So that's what I suggest that people do. Now, as far as the grief, it takes as long as it takes. You know, as I said, the painful times get farther apart, less intense, and shorter in duration. But there'll still be things, you know, maybe years after you have your new dog, where something will just kind of, you know, then you're like, whoa, where did that come from? Does that answer your question about time in between? Well, actually, no, there's a little more I want to add. If it's a planned retirement, then you have the luxury of deciding, what do I want to do? I mean, do I want to come in and get a dog right away? Because there are grads who drop their dogs off in the kennels and come in and get their new dog the next day. And then there are other people on the other end of the spectrum that just can't imagine training as long as their current guide is still alive. Now, of course, you know, the bell curve, it's mostly in the middle. You know? So think about, do I want a break? If so, what kind of a break do I want? All of that sort of thing. And that's something that I can kind of help you think through and talk through, you know, if you'd like.
So when I got my first dog, it was a three-week training period. I understand it's been lowered now. For to get a new dog?
No.
Yes.
2 weeks.
2 weeks for everyone.
That's kind of, it sounds scary, but I felt more prepared. Excuse me. I felt more prepared this time than I have any other time. Because you're doing longer routes. You're doing a lot more individualized attention, rather than sitting there twiddling your thumbs, waiting to go on a workout.
I have a comment. Can everybody hear me? Because I'm not sure if I'm unmuted. I'm Carla. I wanted to say that what helped me when I retired my last two guides, my last guide's retirement was pretty painful because he retired for the exact same thing that my first guide retired due to a health issue, and he was really young. Giving them, I decided not to keep my guides, my retired guides, and that's, you know, completely my choice. But giving them to a person who has been wonderful to them and who I know they're in great hands, I think that made me feel more at peace with, you know, with retiring them, knowing that no matter what, you know, I'm very lucky because this person, you know, she makes them a priority. She's able to take them to work sometimes. She gives them all kinds of attention. So I think that, for me, gave me a lot of peace as far as, like, I knew that it was time, and I knew that the person that they were with just couldn't be better. And I've also been in the situation where I've flown in with a guide and gave him the leash, and the next day I got another one. But, you know, everybody's different, and that worked for me at the time. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Heather here. When my first guide retired, it was fine. He retired just because he didn't want to be a guide anymore. So it was about 6 months before I got my second guide, and I seemed to be fine. I used the cane fine. I was doing fine until I got to school, and then it seemed like that was the time I started to break down. When I got my new guide, everything about him was different. He was shorter, he was this, he was that. And I really struggled transferring my feelings over to him. I didn't know I would do that, but I did. And so it took a while that I felt I was bonded to him. Yeah. But now he's nearly 12 and we're still going. But like, I'm not going to let him go. I was surprised at my own sense of not being aware of how I was feeling until I was faced with the actual thing of, here's your new guide. And that was something I struggled through right through training.
I know. That sounds really concerning for me. Is there support when we're there for something like that? Because I could see how that could happen.
You have each other, Pam. You have access to me by phone. You'll have the tribute group where the retrains get together and they have the opportunity to talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever they need to transition from one to the next.
Right, but now it's only 2 weeks. It just seems like a lot to do in 2 weeks.
Well, it is. You know, however, you've got much more support in this 2 weeks than you ever did before.
Okay.
And, you know, that you and I can certainly talk about.
Keith Flavor said. Go ahead, Ken. I'm sorry.
Right now it's the unknown for you. And
right.
A lot scarier than it's going to be. And I know that you've got this beagle. I know you've got room for lots of dogs. There's only one Brio.
Right.
And you'll feel that way about your next one, too. There's only one Juno. You know, you've got children, so you know that they're very different. You love them differently, but you love them both like crazy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You'll be okay. I know you. You know,
you can do this.
It seems like it's like having a child because I'm giving myself so much time. So I'm like really preparing myself. It's very emotional.
It is.
And you get to baby-proof your house again. well, something Keith Labor said. Took me four dogs to be able to be in one of his classes. Very wise man. And one of the things that he said is, as a retrain, the best thing you have in this world about your retired guide is your memory. And the worst thing you have is your memory, because you know, you're going to remember, I know, like for me, I took my retired guide on a cruise, we were in my best friend's wedding, yada, yada, yada. You know, and at first I was thinking, oh, man, I just got Pollyanna where I wanted her. You know, we just did this. And it was, Kyra just, just walked right in like she fit, which was really nice. But, you know, Keith said, don't beat yourself up over this. And they love those dogs, too. That's another important thing is the instructors and staff love every single dog that goes through all the time.
Other questions, thoughts, observations?
Uh,
Kim, are you able to hear me?
I am.
Okay, this is Vicki, and, you know, when I was able to talk with you, retiring my first guide, Frida, and then I got Angela, but when Frida passed away, she passed away at 2:35 in the morning, Hawaii time. Unfortunately, I was not here. I was at Guide Dogs for a meeting, and I talked to her that night. And my husband was here with her, and my son was here with her. But I have to tell you that the next morning, Jim called our veterinarian, and they sent two people over. And when those two came over, one was a vet tech, one was an administration, and they knew Frida very well. So they sat here and talked with Jim and my son about Frida and all the memories, and she was right there in our living room on a nice bed. But then what happened was, and I will never forget this, but they kept Frida for me because I changed my flight to get home the next day. So I was able to see Frida, and they presented her so beautifully in the exam room. And I got to hold her and kiss her and thank her for everything she did. And, you know, that was my closure with her. And I also had Angela there with at the end. I brought her in at the very end, not at the beginning, okay, because I was too emotional. But I needed Angela to know that her best friend was gone. And, you know, we had her cremated, and she has a prominent place in our living room because she socialized with everybody. And Christmas time, she's under the Christmas tree, and I put a carrot and her cookie over there. And, you know, I still talk to her. And, you know, we all treat our dogs and our memories so differently, but when it's hard, I just hold her ashes, and I say thank you. So we all can do different things for our dogs and the memory. And it was hard transitioning from the elegant lady to my punk rocker, Angela. But I want to tell you, this dog, Angela, is just my joie de vivre.
She's all over the place.
She's all over the place, you know. And we will have this same conversation, I'm sure, when Angela crosses the Rainbow Bridge. But every one of our guides, so, so special. And even though our heart breaks and it has a whole big hole in it, you know, we always have a space to love another dog.
Mm-hmm.
But Kim, I can't thank you enough for helping me during the times I need it. Because I thought, I think I called you like 3-4 times to say, hey, Kim, am I nuts or what? You know, and she said, no, it's normal. But thank you, Kim, for all you have done for me and for the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
It is my pleasure. And, you know, as I said at the beginning, for me it's all about relationships and relating, you know, with you. And it's my pleasure. And, you know, when I ask my husband if I'm crazy, he says, well, that's another issue. We're not going to discuss that. Am I nuts? That's another issue, right?
Well, you know, like, when I got my first dog when I was 19, and I always kind of thought of myself as brave. You know, I'm not the biggest and tallest person in the world. So, you know, walking through high school hallways, I got squished on a regular basis. And when I got my dog, my dad was like, you will never understand what it was like for me and your mom to watch you and know that you were okay. you know, and something that Morgan Watkins said years ago that I just thought was the coolest thing. This is before Will passed away. He said, when I came home with Phantom, Dee Dee and Richard, his son, were standing at the gate of the airport, and he said, they said, you walked off that plane, and you didn't, like, look vulnerable. You looked confident. You knew where you were going. Will had it. You had it. It was good. You know, and that's the thing. And, you know, when a guide is getting to the point where they are retiring or they are, the accuracy is going down, you know, whatever, they feel it. They know it. You know?
All right, guys. Hey, it's Teresa back again. Vicky, oh my God.
It's 5 o'clock.
Yes, Vicky, it's our...
Welcome calls from any of you guys. If you've got any thoughts, concerns, questions about what we talked about tonight, please give me a call. And you can get to me either through the support center and they can transfer you to me. Or I have a direct number, which I think most of you have. You guys want to hear my direct number right now?
Do you work?
Shout it out, Kim.
24/7.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Do you work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? I mean, should we not call you at 3 a.m.?
Send her an email.
Yes.
Facebook is a good thing.
Hey, Kim, it's Therese. You can go ahead and why don't you give us your number?
Okay. Just keep in mind I'm not a crisis. My number is 888-336-0. And on that note...
And the last four numbers didn't come out. Can you say the last four numbers again, Kim?
3039.
3039. And like Kim said, you can reach her through the support center. Kim is amazing. She has helped me through some struggles as well, dealing with loss and Vicky, oh my God, you had us like
tears.
I don't know if this recording is going to turn out because I might have like totally showered the recorder in tears. But
sorry.
But it, you know,
this one was a good noise.
But these kind of things, they just make me feel really proud to be a GDB graduate, to know that there's so many people out there who's gone through the same things, you know, that we're all going through together and that we're here to support one another, which I think is just really quite unique and quite beautiful. And Kim, you lead the charge in keeping us all feeling good, and we really appreciate you and really appreciate your presentation today.
Well, it's my pleasure, and... I guess we'll be seeing a lot of you guys at the reunion. And
yay!
Yep. Together and talk.
Yep. A little plug for the reunion. The stuff will be, the invite should be out next week. So I hope that you guys can come.
Great.
Yeah. So. All right, everyone.
Thank you.
Have
Thank
a
you.
Good night.
Yeah.
Have a good evening. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Turn this off.
Bye. My host left a meeting.